Welcome back to another episode of Renaissance Faith.
Where we are renewing our faith through real conversations.
Today's topic, we're going to talk about being unbothered and what that means to everyone. Everyone may have different definitions of it, but we just kind of want to talk about what it's like, you know, having faith in God and how it allows you to be unbothered by a lot of things that may normally affect people that maybe don't believe, but how God gives us basically like a safety net and an opportunity to just cast our cares on him and just keep it moving.
Yes. So I actually pulled up the definition for unbothered. It says that unbothered means showing or feeling a lack of concern about an interest in something. So whether that be your job or like an aspect of your job, a dynamic of a friendship, you know, there are plenty of ways you can be unbothered. You know, the state of being unbothered, it's an adjective, is kind of like, okay, so if I have an issue with someone, I'm not going to let that issue impact me. Obviously, there are certain things that you do want to address when you are having issues with a friendship or issues at work. But there are little minuscule things that you should not, you know, bother your soul, you know, things that you take home on a day-to-day basis that are just like, you know, racking your brain, giving you stress, those things that make you feel like, oh, I need to be unbothered. You need to give to God, be like, Lord, this is what's ailing me. These are my burdens. Give it up to him. And let him take it from there. Cause I know a lot of things we tend to hold on to, which causes us lots of stress and torment. But we really need to make it a practice to let those things go. I am, you know, speaking to myself during this podcast to be more unbothered and trusting in God to, you know, release those burdens from me. So, yeah.
No, I feel like I'm always using this podcast as an opportunity to like remind myself, stop. I know it was such a pause. Just
like... It was like, it caught me off guard. I wasn't ready to jump in. Sorry.
These are real conversations. But no, I think of them all as like an opportunity to, okay, remind myself, because it's easy to get caught up. Even the last few days, yesterday, this guy pulled in front of, well, he was coming opposite direction, making a turn in front of me. So I would have had right of way to go first. He cut me off and stole the parking spot that I was going to go for. Luckily, left enough room for me to park right behind him. But I was like, okay, I really don't need to be this upset about it. And was like very intentional, like, God, please take these feelings of like anger. Like I was ready to be like, sir, you should not be driving. Like, it's like, you don't need to be this upset. You got a spot anyway, like be grateful for that. I don't know, a couple other things, like even today I had to replace all four of my tires and a bunch of other so fun, unexpected expenses. But
oh my gosh.
It's just like, you know, on top of that, I tithed this morning. So like, I feel good. Like it's all gonna, you know, be okay. Cause I took care of my responsibilities first.
Yes. And that kind of tied into last Sunday, yesterday, message,
you know,
you, no matter what, you know, you never know what's going to happen, obviously, as long as like, because that's God's money, you know, whatever you're making, like, you know, you tend to think like, oh, I earned this, so I work so hard, I deserve, you know, that's the thing, you know, you deserve, but all that belongs to God. Like if you didn't have like the mindset, if you didn't have the physical ability, you know, in some cases, you wouldn't be able to do half the things that you're, you know, praising yourself for. So always a great, you know, thing when you reflect and be like, you know what, this belongs to you, Lord, that little bit that we do give him, that 10%, that's just nothing, you know? So whatever you had to do today, as far as like the tires and stuff like that, like God's going to, if not help you out, you know, cause I know that sometimes we get money we weren't even expecting. That's happened to me. Some. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting this money, or I wasn't expecting this much money. You know, God will make it up in ways like that for being faithful. I know he will.
Yeah, no, but I'm just like feel very much like, okay, this was very much an unexpected expense, but whatever.
And it's for your safety.
Blase. Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't like you like splurged on like a perk or something. But what you were saying earlier about the parking spot, there's plenty of times myself where I've almost gotten road rage, but you know, God has given me that sense of like, hold, pause, you know, and like be grateful that, you know, you're in a position where you are in a car and you saw the person, you saw what was going to transpire and you were able to avoid that, you know? So I tend to like, calm down, Jenny. This person could be crazy. This person could follow you. This person could have a gun. You know, I tend to think through these situations now. And that's like this discernment I feel like I've gotten from God in my, I wouldn't say elder years. In my young youthful years that God has provided me this kind of discernment to like kind of step back, relax. You're going to get there when you get there, you know? So
I had the same, similar mentality for him. I'm like, he was risky doing that because he doesn't know who I am. Like, he's pulling in front of someone. Like, he's lucky I'm a woman of God and, like, not going to react in that way. But.
No, good for you. Good for you.
He's clearly unbothered, too. Just in a different way.
A different kind of unbothered.
You guys were both unbothered. Mm-hmm. And it led to a good situation because, like you said, nowadays, especially, you just never know what what the other person's going through. This could be the straw that like breaks the camel's back, and it's like it's never that serious. And I'm like you, Janie. I have to like stop and think because I used to have road rage. Like it used to be bad. Mm-hmm. And one day I got humbled, and I was like, yes, this person, like we were on the freeway and it was their fault. Like they were the one that started everything. But then I fed into it. And then they ended up, I think it was like a bottle or something. It was something glass. They ended up, we're on the freeway. They threw it out, or we were getting ready to go on the freeway. They threw it out their car. They were passing me and threw it on the side. All I know is it hit my car. And by the grace of God, it hit in between the two windows, like that's not glass, you know? And so the bottle broke on my car, but it didn't break a window or anything. And like, that was like, so I was like, oh my gosh, like, first of all, Jessica, you are not big and bad. Calm down, you know, and there's people that are crazy. So thank God it was only a bottle, and thank God it didn't hit a window, but it could have been worse, you know? Yeah. And you hear these stories of these tragic road rage incidents. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's never that serious, you know? Yeah. So now when people are like on my bumper or like, you know, just trying to get past me or whatever, I always tell myself like, for all I know, you could be rushing. Someone could be in labor and you're rushing to the hospital or whatever. And I always just slow down and get out of the way because I don't know what your situation is. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you are trying to get somewhere fast. Like, and I don't know. So I'm not in a rush. So I'm going to get over and let you go on about your way.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because like all these situations are like revolving around road rage, but like I honestly had a similar situation and it was like during lunchtime. Like I was going to get food for lunch and I guess I was moving too slow for this guy and he was like honking at me. I'm like, where do you want me to go? I'm like merging onto this, it was like an expressway. I was merging onto an expressway and literally I only have one lane to go into. Like I can't move over. There's cars in this lane. I'm like, do you want me to run into this car so that you can get in front of me? Like, so I tried to, and then he was like, I guess he was trying to go around me. So every time I moved over, I guess he thought that he's like, this girl trying to get in my way. I'm like, no, I'm literally trying to get out of your way. And he was just honking. And I was just like, you know, Janie, these emotions are fleeting, not his. I don't know what his issue was, but the initial feeling of anger is always temporary. Like, you're not going to feel the same way you're feeling right now. Like, but in that moment, you'd be like, this person needs to know that I'm upset. No, they need to see
that. They need to know how I feel.
Right. And I'm like, no, they don't. What are they going to do? Tell their significant other? You don't know these people. They could not, I mean, they probably went home and didn't even remember about what they just did, you know? So I just always try to like make those instance like examples, staple points of like why you should just be completely unbothered. And when I was researching being unbothered and staying in the spirit, they had a couple of notes as far as like what you can do, some tips. One was to stay in the word. Obviously, spiritual self-care is essential for this. So daily, hourly, if you need to take that time to reflect back on the word of God and what he said, prayer and being in quietness and meditating on his word is also essential. And making this a part of your daily list of things to do so that you're making it a part of a practice and it's not something that you're using whenever you are put in situations where you need to be, you know, calm and collected. You are doing these all the time so that when those instances do come up or they don't come up, you already know what to do. You already know how to handle the situation. You're already kind of put in that state of mind where these things aren't necessary. You don't need to be bothered.
It's a way of life at that point.
Right, exactly.
Not to bring it back to the road rage, but also like intaking, you know, part of what you said, music helps. So, you know, I try to make it a practice when I'm driving to put on praise and worship music or a sermon, because that also helps change my mind frame. Yeah, no, it really does. It makes me feel super unbothered when situations like that come up. I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm doing my own thing, praising God, like, bye. I'll wave at people, okay, have a great day. Like, I literally, like, it's unreal the level of unbothered I become. But let me put on some trap music or something.
Girl, all you ready?
Of a sudden, I'm like, oh, where are you going? Like, let me follow you. Like, you know, it just changes. Mm-hmm. You get all amped. You get like in a rush all of a sudden. You're like, everyone's just making you irritated. And so once I started really seeing how that affected my mood, I was like, ooh, I can't do this. Like, I'm working so hard to change from old ways. Like, I can't be playing with this, because and just that quick, you know, now my mood's changed and I'm over here engaging in this road rage behavior for no reason. So
just imagine if Nuckify Buck was like playing.
No.
I'm running everyone off the road. You wanna try me? You know, it's like pick or choose your battles, because those kind of things will amp you up. That's like a really good point. Like, being put in a situation where your natural instinct, your human fleshly instinct is to be aggressive, and you're listening to something that is highly aggressive. It's like you're already setting yourself up for failure doing all that. So that's like,
It kind of aligns with atomic habits and like setting your environment up for like creating better habits and a better routine. Like if you go to bed and you wake up in the morning, you make your bed, and then you put a book on your pillow. Like, you're going to pick it up. You're going to want to read it before you like go to bed that night. So it's like doing things like that, though. Like, how can you adjust your environment to stay unbothered?
Yes. Well, I think I should probably take that book and actually put it on my bed, because I've had that book for like 6 months.
Girl, me too. Oh, longer than that.
Corinne got me the book.
Oh, okay. So book club?
Yes.
Book club. Book
club.
Yeah. Add more to our homework list.
Right.
We're on there. Yeah. Another club, another
meeting. I'm like into it. Okay. We can discuss more later. But people don't need to plan with us. Unless if you want to read Atomic Habits with us, tap in below, like, subscribe, whatever is Facebooky.
Yeah, influencer. No, that's a good idea. That's very true, for sure.
I did want to go back to what you had said about the sermon on Sunday. First of all, like, this is another topic, but like, I love that we're doing Money Matters.
I have a wild idea I want to share later, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm very excited about the series. I think it's going to be, I mean, even just if last Sunday's sermon is an indicator of how it's about to go for the rest of the month, I'm so excited for everything I'm going to learn. And Pastor had brought up something, and this, it was kind of like a reiteration. I don't know if he had said it before or if I had heard it somewhere else, but They were talking about how everything that we have is from God, right? So like we take, he's literally just giving it to us to steward over, right? But it's all his. And I think, I know we forget that a lot of times, because even when it comes back time to pay tithes or to, you know, pay for unexpected expenses, we take it so personally and we're like, so like, not, you know, we're so hesitant or resistant to actually spend the money. And it's like, if you start looking at it, like, this isn't even our money to begin with. God gave us this, like the job that we have that allows us to be able to pay for these things, that's from God. The car that we have, we now have to put these tires on, that's a gift from God. And I feel like when you start looking at it in that perspective, it changes how you view things. And that, it, for me, it was a really good reminder, because I'm like, I know my relationship with money, and it's definitely getting better. It was not always, that was not always the case. And so it was also kind of refreshing to see the survey, to see like, you know, there's other people that are, you know, in similar boats. The survey that was on the sermon, just for anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, it's, you know, it's none of this is ours. God just giving it to us to be a manager over and see how we do with it, you know? So what he freely gives to us, we need to freely give back to him. And he's not even asking for a lot. He's asking for 10%, which if you think about it is like crazy, because he could be asking for like 90.
For sure. For sure.
You know, so.
And even like, I know that there's a lot of people that are like, well, I don't even have the 10% to give. I don't even think he means like that, you know, physical money all the time, you know, your stewardship, you know, at church, you know, how much you're willing to like give your, of your time, you know, just with like, you know, pastors, you know, saying what we need help with at the church, like, you know, give your time back to God. You know, that's a way of like showing like, hey, I might not have all of it now, but you know, when I do have it, I will provide, but like, this is what I do have to give. And I always want to make that a point where people are like, you know, I don't always have the money. And I'm like, you know, that's between them and God, if they have it or not, you know? But there's no excuse of like what you can provide, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, generosity of, yeah, spirit. But I do think the concept of tithing too and the 10% makes it somewhat equitable of like, even if it's a dollar to you, it's still tithing and still like fulfilling that responsibility. And like, yes, I fully am aware that like there are some times where significantly budget constraints and you don't have that to give in that moment. But yeah, I think like it's not like a set amount of $100 for everybody, but 10% allows it to be a little bit more equitable.
Yeah. And you think about like how some people, I don't want to say all people, because some people do not pay people back, but you know, like you're like, if your friend pays for something, if your friend gives you something, you're willing to return the favor. You're willing to pay them back as soon as possible. Like I said, I know that's not everyone's testimony, but as for me, I do not like owing people money. So as soon as like someone's like, oh, I'll pay for this, like, just get me back later. Like immediately I'm like, here you go. You know, if I don't, you know, or as soon as possible, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that, you know, you're not willing to give God that same energy, like immediately giving it back to him, you know, just proves like, you know, you need to make it like a routine. It's not like just something that you do like every once in a while, like, oh, I have enough, I'll give it to him this week, you know, or I'll have enough, you know, come, you know, my next bonus, I'll give them to them. No, make it a routine, you know, so that whenever that promotion comes, you can increase that 10%. It's not like, oh, I'm going back to whatever. No, no, it should be a routine. Just like you, tax season, it's just once a year, whatever. But you need to make sure that you're giving God what he's due. And it's not like, oh, the government's in trouble. This is what God has provided you. These are things that God has given you. God has, like Jessica said, has given you stewardship over this money. And part of that is giving it back to show that you have been, you know, a good steward. So all about routine, you know, for all instances, I feel like for me, at least, you know, making it a habit.
It's so important to make it a habit, because also once you make it a habit, it, it just like what we were talking about before, like, just staying in your word and everything, and it just becomes part of you. The same thing happens with tithing. Like, I've been trying to be really consistent about tithing, and now it's to a point of where it's like I really don't think about it. And honestly, for me
You're
personally,
unbothered.
I'm unbothered, and I actually get bothered when it's not
Yes.
the first thing that I do, because that's my personal conviction. Like, I'm so used to do, I've created this habit, and I'm so used to it that, like, I literally like to, like, I'm very literal with what the Bible says in this aspect, because it's like my first fruits, like, I literally try to, as soon as I get paid, tithe.
No, I'm
And
like,
that's
can we get it taken out pre-tax? Like, withdraw from my check. I don't even want to see it.
Right.
It's not even here,
It's
but
not mine.
I hate when other things come through before I've tied, because sometimes you have things set up and it hits before you can, and you're like, oh. But like, that kind of bothers me just because of the habit that I've set up for myself, right? But I did want to say a story, just a little story about how amazing God is and how he really just asks us to trust him. He can do everything, right? Like, he can do anything and everything, and we put a limit on how much God can do because we're humans. And so even though we know he can do anything, we still sometimes are like, but like, we're shocked when he does these crazy out of the box things. But it's like, that's the God that we serve, right? So one time I had an amount due, and my check after I paid bills, like, it was going to be just enough left to pay that amount. But I was like, oh, I need to tithe. And I was like, ooh, but if I tithe, I'm not gonna have that amount, right? So I literally was like going back and forth with myself. I had to pray about it. And then I was like, okay, I'm just gonna tithe, and I guess I'll just figure it out. I'll just figure it out. That's what I said, right? Do you know that I tithe, and the next day in the mail, I got a refund check from a student loan that from a school I went to years ago that was enough to cover the amount that I was looking and a little bit more. Like, I kid you not, I had no idea this check was coming. And I was like, okay, God,
Here
and
you
I feel like he was like, I just wanted to see if you would do it.
Your faithfulness.
You're worrying about things that you don't need to worry about. I just ask you to be obedient to me. That's it. Like, I have everything else covered. And that reminds me, it brings me to scripture, Matthew 6:25 on down. But it says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Amen.
If that doesn't sound like
Amen.
being unbothered and trusting God, I don't
Right.
know what does.
Amen, sister. I was like, yes, because I mean, like literally every time, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Every time I do worry about those things, those things that come up, you always have to be like, God will make a way. God will make a way. And like I said in the beginning, like you paid, I don't know how much for the 4 tires. I know it wasn't cheap. But you also paid your tithes, and I know that God will look out for you. However that comes, he's faithful, and I know he will do what he needs to do to get you where you gotta go.
Because paying for your tires is showing that you are stewarding this car that he's given you, he's provided you with. You're taking care of it, right? You're keeping it up. So he's definitely, you tithe and you're taking care of what he's giving you, he's definitely going to bless you in some way or another. Abundance is coming your way.
Thanks, ladies.
Of course. We love you.
But that was awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing. I really appreciated all your different perspectives and testimonies as far as being unbothered and trusting in God and having faith that he will do whatever he says he will do. So until next time, bye guys.
Bye.
Bye.